This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
The White House takes on drug prices. From Marketplace, I'm Sabri Benishore, in for David Brancaccio, who's on assignment. Pharmaceutical industry executives are expected at the White House tomorrow. President Trump says he'll sit down with them to talk drug prices after signing several executive orders, which the White House says will help bring those prices down. Marketplace's Nova Safos here with more. Good morning.
Good morning, Sabri.
So what's this meeting about exactly?
Right. So it's about one of the changes the president is proposing, and it's got the pharmaceutical industry up in arms. It has to do with what's called most favored nation status, meaning U.S. drug prices would be set based on the lowest prices other countries pay. This would only apply to Medicare patients and drugs administered in a doctor's office. I spoke this morning with Gerard Anderson, professor of health policy and management at Johns Hopkins University, and I asked him why the pharmaceutical industry is opposed to this change.
Because we pay 3 to 4 times what other countries pay for the same drugs, this is why they earn all their profits. So if you bring the prices down to what other countries pay, they are going to lose a significant profit margin.
Now, Trump says he is delaying this rule change for a month. He wants to hear from pharmaceutical industry executives, and that's what the meeting is supposed to be about tomorrow.
The president signed several executive orders on Friday aimed at drug prices. What would the others do?
Well, among the other orders is allowing the importation of cheaper drugs from other countries, also requiring drug rebates paid to insurers and others to get passed down to patients. That would lower prices, presumably. In terms of impact, Professor Anderson says it could take years for these orders to get implemented.
They will have absolutely no impact until they become final rules. They just are ideas like an academic like myself would have and say, this is what you should do. But until they become actual rules and regulations, they have no impact.
And I should mention that these ideas have been proposed before, but not gotten much traction. And Democrats criticize Trump's orders as not going far enough.
Okay. Marketplace's Nova Safo. Thank you.
You're welcome.
The Federal Reserve's Open Market Committee meets over the next 2 days. This is the committee that officially sets interest rates and monetary policy. In the 6 weeks since it last met, coronavirus cases have surged, states have reopened and partially reclosed, and millions more Americans have filed for unemployment. Julia Coronado is founder of Macro Policy Perspectives and joins us to talk about it. Good morning.
Good morning.
The FOMC meeting, the Federal Reserve meeting, is coming up. What do we expect to hear from Chairman Jay Powell?
I think we're going to hear more of the same, which is that they're, you know, full speed ahead. They're doing everything they can to support the economy. So I think for now, especially given the added uncertainty from the resurgence of the virus and some weakness in high frequency economic indicators, I think he will be wanting to deliver a supportive message.
A lot of the Fed's support for the economy has either been influencing interest rates or offering loans to all kinds of businesses. But, you know, a loan can only go so far. Is there a world in which the Fed could actually give money to struggling businesses?
There is a world. It's not the world we live in. They don't have the authority to give money out to consumers, for example. If Congress wanted to create such an authority or a facility, they could do so. The Fed just doesn't have the authority now, which is why you hear Chair Powell effectively beg for more fiscal support for the economy, because the economy needs it.
Julia Coronado, founder of Macro Policy Perspectives. Thanks so much.
My pleasure.
You have also surely seen some restaurants that remain shuttered, even as many places reopen. Well, turns out many of them may well be closed for good. Yelp did a survey of restaurants and found that as of July 10th, 60% of restaurants that had closed permanently. That is a 23% increase since the month before. In California, Latino communities continue to bear the brunt of the pandemic. Many workers are on the front lines in positions deemed essential, but with limited or no health insurance. The virus is spreading quickly as well in multi-generational homes. Leslie McClurg from member station KQED has the story of two women in the Bay Area.
After 3 months sheltering at home, Socorro Diaz started cleaning houses again in May. But now she's out of work again. Clients started canceling in recent weeks as the case count spiked in Santa Rosa. Plus, she doesn't want to put her clients in danger. COVID-19 has plagued her family for months.
Primero mi hermana, su esposo, mi sobrina.
First her sister, then her sister's husband, her niece. Eventually, 15 family members tested positive, including her 22-year-old son. Diaz says her sister was likely the first case. She says she might have caught the illness at a factory job where masks ran short. A range of symptoms plagued the family, cramped inside an apartment.
Mucha tos y dolor de garganta.
Lots of coughing, bad sore throats, body aches. Six family members required hospital care. They're all recovering from COVID-19 at home now, but everyone is experiencing economic stress. In nearby San Francisco, Adriana Villatoro Ortez caught COVID-19. She lives with her son. His construction work has continued through the pandemic because he's an essential worker. In mid-April, Ortez, who's 62 years old and lives on disability, thought her asthma was flaring up. But quickly, the burning in her back and her ribs was intolerable. When her fever spiked, she asked her son to drive her to the hospital. She's covered by California's public insurance program. Nurses immediately ordered a slew of medication. Something to regulate her blood pressure for diabetes, heavy pain relievers. On the fourth day in the hospital, she received a positive COVID-19 test. Ortez says she started to worry she might not recover from the virus. Fortunately, 5 days later, doctors released her. She says she is worried about her health as new infections soar in the Bay Area. Ortez doesn't know if she's immune to a future infection. In San Francisco, I'm Leslie McClurg for Marketplace.
And in New York, I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.